It's so good to be here with you guys today. My name's Nathan Law. I got 7 kids, a little bit about me. I only brought one of them today. He's down here in the front row, and he's loving the church because he's reclining out. So he may never experience church like this again, so he really appreciates being here. But no, like I said, it's great to be here today. I actually met Timbo this last year and met him in San Diego at a conference, and we just really connected. And he asked me to come out and preach, and I said, man, I'd love to come and just meet some of your people and preach God's word. So it's a privilege to be here. Let me pray for us, and then we'll jump into what God's putting on our hearts today. God, thank you so much for Church by the Fort. I just pray that you would open our hearts up today to what you want to share with us. I pray you'd challenge us. I pray you'd encourage us. And I pray you would just remind us that, God, you have a great plan for our lives. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Aren't you glad God loves sinners? Or let me put it another way. Aren't you glad that God loves you? I remember growing up, I did not love God. I was actually very hard-hearted towards God, but God still loved me, and he sent 6 people that I can remember who tried to share the love of God with me at a young age. I remember the first one was my grandma. There's this picture in my head, and she's reading me this Bible story, and I'm too young to really understand it, but man, she was trying to share the love of Christ with me. And then I remember in middle school, I wanted to go to basketball camp, but my parents said, you got to go to 1 week of church camp. And I'm there, and I almost get kicked out of this church camp because I was swearing. And the youth pastor came up, and he said, you can't swear. Long story short, at the end of church camp, a lady came up to me, and she tried to share the love of God with me. And I wasn't ready for it, wasn't interested. Then in high school, my point guard, he became a Christian at a basketball camp. It was a Christian basketball camp. He comes back, and he's like, Nate, I want to tell you about the love of God. And I was like, not interested. I mean, God really wanted to get this message across to me that he loved me. I was going off to college, and I was your version of white men can't jump, good basketball player, not the best athlete. And I played 1 year of volleyball. So I was like, man, my problem is I can't jump high enough. So I literally went to talk to my high school volleyball coach. I was like, man, you got to teach me how to jump higher. He teaches me all these drills. Then he says, Nate, I want to talk to you about Jesus. I ran out of there. That's fourth person. Fifth person, so I get to this college, full ride, but it was a Christian university. And I run into a guy named Timbo. Now, it wasn't your pastor, Timbo. It was Matt Timbo. And Matt had actually just gotten kicked out of NC State because he was partying. And through that, he became a Christian. And he ended up at this school I was at, John Brown University. And Timbo started sharing with me about the love of God. And I was more open to it at this time. The next week, I ran into a guy, I call him Biblehead Ted, and Biblehead Ted shared the gospel with me, and it was September 3rd, 1998, where I realized what God did for me, that Jesus died on a cross, he rose from the grave, and I could accept his gracious gift. So on that day, God forever changed my life. And what's beautiful about this story is I'm so glad that these 6 people didn't come up to me and say, man, I'm a failure. Nate didn't respond to this gift, but they were faithful with the message of God. You know, I could have came to Christ the first time. It could have taken 100, but man, people were just so excited about God's great gift and the feast God had to offer me that they were faithful sharing the message. Not only did God save my soul, but he also showed me that Christianity isn't this boring religion. It was a feast, and now I was invited to it. What about you? Maybe for you, you grew up in a Christian home, and you heard about the love of God at a young age, and you trusted Christ, you accepted his gift at a young age. Maybe for you, it was like me, it was in college, or maybe for you, you went through an extremely difficult situation, and through that, you realized that God loved you. Or maybe you're here today and you're like, what is this guy even talking about? The love of God. Well, we're going to jump in to that today. I think my stand kept creeping down on me. This Bible is too heavy for it or something. There we go. I can tighten it right here. I'm going to just keep it here just in case I do something crazy here. So today we're going to jump into the scripture. We're going to be in a very famous story. We're going to be in Luke chapter 15, 1 and 2. And we're just going to start off and read what's going on here in Jesus' day. It says, now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. So here's what's going on. These religious people, these teachers, they were having a hard time understanding Jesus because they were like, we want to live a holy life. But then they see Jesus over there and he's eating with sinners. And they're like, how is he doing this? And you notice these Pharisees, these religious people, they were muttering. They were complaining. They were grumbling. No one's ever been in a church to people mutter, complain, or grumble, right? But these people were doing this, and they're really asking a question. They were saying, is it okay to eat with sinners? And we're only going to look, and Jesus is about to answer this question, not with one story, but with three. We're not going to go through all the three, but I do want to sum up two of them real quick. You see, Jesus gives this response, and he says, there was a shepherd, and he had 100 sheep, and one left, and he said the shepherd left the 99 to go after the 100. And here's what Jesus says in response to that. He says, in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Is it okay to eat with sinners? Absolutely. Because the heartbeat of God is to see people come back to him. Then he tells a story about this lady. She has 10 coins. This is a lot of money. This would be like the money she got from her wedding. And she loses one of those coins. And we got some ladies here. You know how it happens when you lose something valuable. I mean, you will tear that whole house up until you find it. And she finds the one coin. And it says, in the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Do you see what's happening? God says there's a party going on. September 3rd, 1998, when me, the sinner, came home to God, God threw a party. Could you picture how much joy we would have in our churches if we had parties when people came home to God? Instead, a lot of times the church is known for, man, we want to fight over the color of the carpet. We want to fight over stuff that's irrelevant. And God says, today, I want this to be the main point, that you will rejoice when people come back to God. So my wife's name's Heather, and we uprooted from Paris, Texas, moved to Houston, Texas, and we're planting a church there. It was cool to see this video here. We could relate to that. We moved all of our kids. My wife came home one day and she's like, how are we going to feed our kids? I was like, I don't know. God's going to have to provide that. But the reason we're doing this is because we want to have this heart. We want to bring the gospel to places it's not. We want to see people come home into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we're doing this through church planting. We want this to be our mentality. But the beautiful thing is you don't have to plant a church to have the heartbeat of God. Even thinking about this church, you're getting old, but you're not that old. Man, God wants you guys to have this heartbeat, church by the fort, that we want to reach people who are far from God. We want to eat with sinners. So today we're going to look at one of the most famous stories in the Bible, and I want to encourage and challenge us to have this heartbeat that rejoices when people come back to God. We just got 2 points, and the first one is this. We must embrace a church planting mentality because prodigals are waiting to come home. And just to clarify, when I say church planting mentality, I'm not saying everyone needs to plant a church. I'm saying we need to have a mentality that we want to bring the love of Christ to where it's not. So we must embrace a church planting mentality because prodigals are ready to come home. So join with me if you got your Bible, or I think we got some verses up here on the back. I'm in Luke 15. We're going to start in verses 11. Jesus continued, there was a man who had 2 sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. This story starts with an audacious ask. He's asking for something huge. And here's what's crazy about this. God loves when we ask him for big things. But what this younger son is asking his father for is not a great ask and a good thing. he's asking for a very bad thing. Here's what he's basically saying. He's saying, Dad, I want you dead so I could have your stuff. My younger son's here today. And could you picture if he came up to me and said, Dad, I want your money. Good thing I don't have a lot of money. But if he said, Dad, I want your money. I want you dead. I'd probably pull out the belt, right? And that's exactly what he's asking. I mean, son, we're gonna spank you here. But what's crazy about this is the father says, okay, I am going to give you your stuff. God loves us so much that he doesn't force us to do stuff. And here's what's crazy about this passage. He gives him the money. He gives him the stuff because he loves him. You know, sometimes when God gives us what we ask for, it's not always a good thing. Let's pick up in verse 13. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth and wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of the country who sent him to his field to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. In summary, the father said, hey, go ahead and do it. But when he got out of his father's care, he didn't do so hot. He blew his money. He was living wild. And it was so bad that he basically became a slave. Now, I don't know if there's many Jewish people in this area, but one thing I know about Jewish people is they don't eat pigs. Now, I know that's a sin for me being a Gentile person up here, right? I love my bacon, but Jewish people do not eat pigs. And this man was doing so bad that not only was he not eating a pig, he was like, man, I would love some pig food right now. Could you picture you're so hungry that you were eating your dog food? I mean, here's what this picture is like. It's like Bill Gates' son begging on the side of the road because he doesn't have money. This guy was not doing well. And see, I think a prodigal is someone who's far off from God. For the first time, this son felt the weight of his sin. He thought he was going to do so good without his father, but he was sitting there and he was just longing to eat the pig food. This guy made some really bad decisions. And you know what I think in my own life? Sometimes I look at the story of the prodigal son and I'm like, man, I'm not as bad as this guy. But the reality is we've all been there before. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And I want to ask you a few questions. Do you really think that your sin stinks? Do you think your sin is worthy of death? I've met some of you guys today, and I know there's some pretty good sinners in this room. I could just feel it out. But no, seriously, a lot of times we like to say, man, my sin's not as bad as your sin. But the reality is, we are all the prodigal son. I love this quote. It says this: I am a prodigal son every time I search for unconditional love where it cannot be found. Why do I keep ignoring the place of true love and persist in looking for it elsewhere? Why do I keep leaving home where I'm called a child of God, the beloved of my Father? I am constantly surprised at how I keep taking the gifts of God has given me, my health, my intellectual and emotional gifts, and keep using them to impress people, receive affirmation and praise, and compete for rewards instead of developing them for the glory of God. You see, before this prodigal could experience the love of God, he had to feel the weight of his sin, but he also had to leave the pig pen. Pick up with me in verse 17 here. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. Here's what I'm picturing right here in my head. You know those times when your kid gets in trouble And they're apologizing, but they're not really apologizing because they're sorry. They're apologizing because they don't want the discipline. And that's where this guy is right here. He's kind of like, man, this is painful where I'm at. I'm not necessarily really sorry. Man, I'll just go back home and I will be a servant. And I love what a good friend of mine says. This boy's proposal indicates that while he desires the father's house, he doesn't understand the father's heart. Man, he's like, wow, I got busted and I know it could be better, but he still doesn't understand God's grace. And here's the thought, is God's grace brings dead things to life. Isn't that the great thing about Christianity? Every other religion says, I have to earn my favor with God. But Christianity says God wants to give us something we don't deserve. This son is absolutely right. He deserves nothing of the Father's house. But God wants to give us grace. And verse 20 picks up. He got up. He went to the father. And I'm just picturing this father. Man, his son left. He took the money. He wanted his dad dead. And the father still loved him. I don't know, but in my head, I'm just picturing him. He's pacing back and forth each night saying, man, I hope my son comes back tonight. Man, I don't know what he's into. I hope he's not in trouble. I hope he's not hurting. Man, I just want my son back. That is the heart of the father. In verse 20, it says, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. Wow. Man, could you imagine this moment? And it picks up in verse 21, and it says, the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And as he's making that confession, it's almost like the father's like, no, I'm just glad you're back home. The father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf. Here's what you got to know back then. When you killed the fattened calf, they didn't have refrigerators. This was a party. I mean, think about the biggest party you've ever been to. He is bringing not just the calf, he's bringing the fat calf. And kill it. And let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. God brings dead things to life. He created the earth out of nothing. Right now, I shared with you, I'm about to be planting a church, and there's a group of us who are going through this training before we actually launch our church. And one of my friends' name is Derek. And Derek grew up in a pastor's home, went off to a Christian school, and when he got to this Christian school, you know what he said? He said, you know what? I want to impact people who don't know God. So he started living with a group of people. And he was like, man, I'm going to share the love of Christ with them. But this was a pretty wild group. And in that process, instead of Derek impacting this group, they started impacting him. So he's at this small Christian school. And before you know it, he's partying every night. He's making decisions he shouldn't be making. And his sophomore year, he gets called into the dean's office. And the dean asks him a point blank question. He said, Derek, are you drinking alcohol on campus? It was a Christian school. Derek lied to his face. The dean had him on camera getting drunk. The dean said, look at this video right here. He goes, you're kicked out of this school. Derek had to call his dad. Dad, I'm kicked out of school. Come pick me up. His dad drives in the next morning, and Derek said, he's like, man, what's my dad going to do? Is he going to talk to me? Is he going to kick me out of the family? What's he going to do? His dad pulls up with a U-Haul and they pack the stuff. But as Derek's walking out to see his dad for the first time, he gives him a hug. He says, son, I love you. I love you. It changed Derek's life. Derek said, man, I've never experienced the love of God like that before. And now he's planning on planting a church to reach people with the gospel. Isn't that the grace of God? Dead things coming to life. And guys, I don't know where this church is at. I know Timbo has a great heart. I don't know where people are at, but I have to say this. The good news of the gospel is that Jesus loved us even when we didn't deserve it. And if you're here today and you've never began a relationship with Jesus Christ, man, we offer that invitation to you today. All you have to do is ask him for his gift. He rose from the dead. He paid for your sins so you wouldn't have to. And he's still alive today. And I'd love to talk to you about that later today. In church today, if you're here and you're like, man, I am at the feast, I want to encourage you that God wants you to keep inviting people to this party. This is a party. You know, a couple things. Maybe for you, you have five people you're praying for right now who are far from God. Do you have a top five list of people you're saying, man, I'm praying for some friends who don't know God right now? Maybe for you, you could learn how to tell your story. If you're a follower of Christ, if you're at God's party, you have a story to tell. And maybe you need to learn how to tell that with people. So I want to ask you today two things. I mean, are you far off? Do you need to come home today? And if you've come home, this gospel planting mentality, this church planting mentality is inviting others to the feast. All right, one more point here. And Timbo warned me. He said, man, there's lots of lights at this church, and there's a clock. And if you go over time, they'll kick you out because there's a movie coming. So don't worry, I'm cognizant of the time here. I appreciate that. I can't see you because of lights, but I feel like there's some grace coming over here. Okay, so the first reason we need to embrace this church planting mentality is because prodigals are ready to come home. I was ready to come home after six people shared with me. But there are people in this community ready to come home to the love of God. But the second reason we need to embrace a church planting mentality is because the mission of God. You see, God has a mission for the church. And that mission is simple. It's to make disciples of all nations. These people of Jesus, they were scribes. They were religious people. And they got off the mission of God. You see, what they were trying to do is they were trying to live so far from the world and get in this little circle, and you had to follow a bunch of rules and regulations to live in this circle. But they weren't making disciples for God. They were making disciples of themselves. And Jesus says, I want you to make disciples of all nations. It picks up in verse 25 here. And here's what it says. Meanwhile, the older brother was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of his servants and asked him, what was going on? Your brother has come back, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. Do you remember the story with the 100 sheep? The end was there was rejoicing. The story with the 10 coins and what was lost, what was the ending? Rejoicing, right? And there's a big contrast here because there's rejoicing going on, but this story does not end in rejoicing. This brother. Now, here's what you got to know about the brother. Remember, the son asked a question to the father. He said, Father, I want you dead. I want my money. Well, back in this time, the older son got twice as much as the younger son. So this guy had what? Resources. And he did not rejoice in someone being forgiven. Think about that. I've been involved with a lot of churches. And when I've interviewed with churches and I say, hey, I want to reach people for Christ, none of them say, hey, we don't want you here, right? But you know what I've noticed? when we start reaching people with the gospel, when people who don't look as clean start coming in, some of those same people who are excited to bring someone in who wants to reach lost people, what do they start saying? Whoa, this isn't as exciting as we thought it was. I mean, that person doesn't smell very good over there, right? And this older son was jealous and offended that God would forgive someone who made such a mess of his life. Church, God has called us to make disciples. And just because we reach someone with the gospel, that doesn't mean we've made a disciple. But we have to reach people if we're going to make disciples. And this older son, who's representative of these religious people, these scribes and these Pharisees, did not like that God has a heart for sinners. Guys, I'm going to be completely honest with you. I think all of us, if you're a follower of Christ, if you've came to God's party and accepted his gift, I think all of us can start becoming like the older brother. I remember when I was at the last church I was at, we saw this guy named Juan. He became a believer. I was at a First Baptist church. It was a great church. So this is not a knock on the church at all. But I remember he came one Sunday night, and he was going to go to a Sunday night First Baptist traditional church service. But there was a problem. He came in a wife beater. Now, I'm totally great with reaching everybody, but in my head I'm thinking, First Baptist church, wife beater. And this guy, his name was Juan, he comes up to me and he goes, "Do you got some deodorant on you?" And I'm like, "Dude, I share a lot of stuff. I got a lot of kids." But I was like, "Just take the deodorant. You can have it. You can have it here." And God just spoke to me, because in my heart, I was more worried about what people were going to think about Juan than about him growing in his relationship with Christ. And I share that to say to you, guys, if you're a follower of Christ in here, we have to guard against not being the older brother. The older brother became angry, and here's what I love about this passage. He became angry, and he refused to go in. God was inviting this older brother into the party. And here's what it says. The father went out and pleaded with him. And I just wonder today if God is saying, church, and I know your church has a great heart. I know your pastor. And I wonder if God's pleading with us, saying, church, I want you to be at the party so you can invite others to the party. Don't lose the fact that Christianity is not a boring religion. It is a feast. And I want you to bring as many people in as possible. Church, let's not have the heart of the older brother. There's a man, he started a movement called Calvary Chapel, and he was reaching all these hippies, and he had some people complaining. They were saying, man, they're going to ruin the carpet. And you know what he said? He said, I'd rather tear the carpet out because I want to reach people with the gospel. We want to make disciples. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. You never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property and prostitutes comes home, you killed the fattened calf. The older brother missed the heartbeat of the father. I know I got to hurry here, so I'm going to close with this story. My brother, I played college basketball, small school. But growing up, my brother was 4 years younger. In seventh grade, he was 6'3". And man, went on, he played overseas professional ball, played NCAA basketball, the whole nine yards. But our whole upbringing, man, I loved seeing my brother excel. I had a good high school career. He had a phenomenal high school career. I loved seeing my brother. I put a timer on there, that's what that is. I love seeing my brother excel and go further beyond me. Even today, I love seeing my brother succeed. In church, I think about that. I'm not a perfect brother by any means, but I think about discipleship. I think about this church planting mentality. That what if our heart was to see people far from God come into the feast of God and then see those people feast more than we're feasting and just say, praise God that He's allowed me to be a part of His story. I'm not one of these religious people. Man, I am at the feast of God, and I want to see prodigals come home, and I want to see disciples made. And church, I want to encourage you with that. I'm going to say a prayer here, and real quick, if there's someone in here today who is ready to come to the feast of God for the first time, I'm here, there's a lot of leaders here, man, come talk to me. September 3rd, 1998, man, I began my journey at the feast with God. And church, I want to challenge you, let's make sure that we're inviting people to the feast and making disciples at that feast. Lord, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you so much for your grace. Thank you so much that Christianity isn't boring. It's a feast. And Lord, I pray for two things. I pray today, if there are any people who are ready to begin a relationship with God, they would accept your gift today. And Lord, I pray for this church. I pray that, God, we would not lose vision of your heart, of going after the one, of searching for the coin, of embracing sinners who need to come home. Help us make disciples in light of that. Amen.